Savai bhata prashtamatista vaishyate.
Savai bhata prashtamatista vaishyate.
Yat karmanang paramapara karmanah.
Yat karmanang paramapara karmanah.
Yad yoga maya guna yoga mohitam.
Yad yoga maya guna yoga mohitam.
Vishwam samastam bhagavan Videhisham. Saha. He. Vai. Certainly. Bata. Alas. Brashtamatihi. Nonsense. Tava. Your Eshate desires. Yaha.
One who.
Karmanam.
Of activities.
Param.
Limit.
Aparakarmanaha. Of one who has unlimited activities. Yaha, yet. By whom? Yoga. Mystic power. Maya. Potency. Guna. Modes of material nature. Yoga. Mystic power. Mohitam. Bewildered. Vishwam. The universe. Samastam.
In total.
Bhagavan. O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Videhi. Just be pleased to bestow. Sham.
Good fortune.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, there is no limit to your wonderful activities. Anyone who desires to know the limit of your activities is certainly nonsensical. Everyone in this world is conditioned by the powerful mystic potencies. Please bestow your causeless mercy upon these conditioned souls. Purport. Mental speculators who want to understand the limit of the unlimited are certainly nonsensical. Every one of them is captivated by the external potencies of the Lord. The best thing for them is to surrender unto Him, knowing Him to be inconceivable, for thus they can receive His causeless mercy. This prayer was offered by the inhabitants of the higher planetary systems, namely the Jana, Tapas, and Satyalokas, who are far more intelligent and powerful than humans. Vishwam Samastam is very significant here. There are the material world and the spiritual world. The sages pray, both worlds are bewildered by your different energies. Those who are in the spiritual world are absorbed in your loving service, forgetting themselves and you also. And those in the material world are absorbed in material sense gratification and therefore also forget you. No one can know you, because you are unlimited. It is best not to try to know you by unnecessary mental speculation. Rather, kindly bless us so that we can worship you with causeless devotional service. So that's obviously Prabhupada's using Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary, the second paragraph. It's not that Gyanam, knowledge, is undesired. We have to know Krishna. We have to know somebody to love him. We have to know what he wants. We have to know what he likes. We have to understand a person in order to have loving dealings with him. In many ways we have to understand him. But we don't need to know everything about him. We don't need to know him fully because no one can know him fully. But we're not saying that we're completely against cultivating knowledge. We want to understand Krishna, and not just Krishna in his most attractive form, especially if we're still conditioned souls. Maybe we're not ready to approach him so intimately. We should also want to know him, his powers. Not him only as the lover, but we have to understand how he's the Supreme Lord. And that means to know his influence, his energies. That becomes complex. Then there's plenty of scope for those who have brains they want to exercise to study the Lord's potencies, his relationships with his potencies. But knowledge should be focused on that. The Bhagavatam is giving us very thorough information, knowledge, about everything that's related to Bhagavan. Therefore, it's called Bhagavat. His energies, his pastimes, his devotees, even his abode, are all described in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Gita gives us divine knowledge, but in a succinct form. It's not that the Bhagavad Gita is just for beginners. Not at all. If we neglect the Bhagavad Gita, we're missing something. It's not only for neophytes to convince them they're not this body. Anyway, we still need to be convinced we're not this body. But the Bhagavad Gita, in short, what does it say about the spiritual world? About Krishna's Dhamma? What does it speak of his Leelas? What does it even say about his spiritual realm? That there's no electricity there. Not much more. One who goes there doesn't come back again. So, someone who goes to jail for life punishment, he also doesn't come back again. And there are places where there isn't any electricity also, beside Vaikuntha. So it's not a very explicit depiction of the Lord's abode in Bhagavad Gita, nor are his leelas described in great detail. Not at all, practically. There's some description of his vibhutis, mention of his material expansions. There's no mention, no explicit mention of his different avatars, although Arjuna is calling Krishna by various names that hint at some of his different avatars. Madhusudana, Rishikesha, Janardana, and so on. There's some hint of his activities in that. Not much. Not much description of his pastimes either. There's mention of some of the Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord, among the Vibhutis. Some of them are pure devotees. But if we go to the Bhagavatam, then Srimad Bhagavatam, then we see much more elaborate description of everything. Everything related to the personality of Godhead. The Gita is just the shortened, abridged version of in Krishna's words, spoken in a short compass of time. So in such a short work, you can't expect so much elaborate description. But the Bhagavatam has the scope. In 335 chapters, the Bhagavatam is able to describe many things in detail. There is explicit description of Vaikuntha. Goloka Vrindavan is not mentioned, but we see the description throughout the 10th canto, or not throughout, in the first half of the 10th canto, of the manifestation of Goloka on the earth in Vajamandala. That is described in detail. Krishna's leelas are described very much in detail. His devotees, so many devotees are described. So Bhagavatam gives us a complete understanding. So much knowledge, relevant knowledge. But even that, even though this knowledge is relevant, just by opening the book, someone will not necessarily get the understanding, even by reading the Bhagavatam. Mayavadis read the Bhagavatam too, and they don't understand it properly. They still think that the Supreme is ultimately impersonal, even after reading the Bhagavatam. Atapite deva padambuja dvaya prashada leshana grihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mihimno nachanyo ekopicharam vichinvan. Brahma, in his prayers to Krishna in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, is saying this. O Lord, only someone who has obtained at least some small portion, a drop, of the mercy coming from your lotus feet can understand your greatness. Otherwise, someone else who hasn't cannot understand you properly, who you really are, even if he speculates for a long time. That's why mental speculation is not recommended. We should give up the habit of mental speculation, because that's not how we acquire knowledge of the Absolute or knowledge of how to approach. The Absolute does not come from any process of mental speculation. That is called arohapanta, trying to raise our consciousness to the Supreme by our own efforts. Rather, the avarohapanta, the path of descending knowledge, is what is required. We receive the knowledge from the authorized source, the Srimad Bhagavatam, but we have to get a drop of Krishna's mercy to understand the Bhagavatam. So we study the Bhagavatam in the association of the Bhagavats. We take initiation from a Bhagavat, and we serve in the company of Bhagavats, and we hear and study Bhagavatam in the company of devotees. Then we get Krishna satisfied and gives us his mercy. Keshava Bharati Maharaj yesterday was saying to somebody who's with Narayan Maharaj, this young sannyasi, what's his name? Yes! This was 2 years ago. He was trying to tell Keshava Bharati Maharaj that you devotees over there in ISKCON, you cannot fully realize Krishna. You're practicing arohapanta because you don't have living contact with the Mahabhagavat. We do. We have the physical living contact, and you don't. Your acharya is gone. Where's the rule? And Keshava Bharati Maharaj answered, where is the rule, show me in Shastra, that you have to have the physical presence to receive the enlightenment from the Mahabhagavat? Why does he have to be physically present? They have it backwards. The real position is that Diksha requires physical presence. That's the etiquette. That's the way it's done. You take initiation from someone who's there to give it to you. Otherwise, everyone's thinking he's taking initiation in a dream, you know, and there's no real relationship there. It's just imaginary. But the shiksha doesn't require physical presence. We're all shiksha disciples of Prabhupada, even if we never met him, even if we never saw him, even if we're not hearing face to face, even if we're listening to a tape recording, even if we received our Gayatri mantra in a tape from a tape recording, which most of us in ISKCON did, even those when Prabhupada was present. He personally spoke into the ears of some devotees, but most got their second initiation Gayatri mantra from a tape recording. That's the same. And Prabhupada's words recorded on paper, that's the same. It tells you he doesn't have to be physically present. Where in Shastra does it say that? That you have to be sitting in the same room to receive shiksha, it's divine instruction. Otherwise, what's the use of the Bhagavatam? Vyasadeva, Shukadeva's not here. We can't hear from him in person, so therefore these instructions are useless. Well, no, the answer will be that you have to hear the Bhagavatam spoken to you by the Mahabhagavat. Otherwise, you have no access to the Bhagavatam. But we have. We have the Bhagavatam explained by Srila Prabhupada. And there are so many cases of devotees, even who have never met anybody from ISKCON, who have read Prabhupada's books and started practicing devotional service, and who feel Krishna's presence in their lives. You know, Prabhupada appears to them in dreams, some of these devotees. You know, and even before they ever, for years, they didn't meet anybody from ISKCON, some remote parts of the world. There are so many stories like that. Just from Prabhupada's books, they actually entered Krishna, the actual practice of Krishna consciousness. So you can argue theoretically about the need of physical presence to receive shiksha, but there's practical proof, counter examples of that. Devotees who have actually made some progress in Krishna consciousness just by contact only with Prabhupada's books, with the Bhagavatam explained by the Mahabhagavat. We don't lack that. This is one of ISKCON's assets, that we have Prabhupada's instructions, and we have them elaborately preserved in the Bhagavatam, in the recordings of his lectures, in the folio, and you know, we have so many. No other acharya in the history of the world has had his instructions so thoroughly recorded as Prabhupada's. Anyway, the point was that you have to get the mercy, and we get the mercy by the by serving the Mahabhagavat. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavat Yutamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. By, is that right? I didn't put two verses together, okay. One's contamination becomes diminished almost to nothing by constant, regular service to the Bhagavat. And Prabhupada explains in his translation and purport that this means two kinds of service. Service to the book Bhagavatam and service to the person Bhagavat. We don't understand the book unless we're also engaged in serving the Vaishnavas, our spiritual master and other Vaishnavas. Then Krishna is satisfied with us. And we get divine enlightenment. Divyagyan Rite Prakashito. The spiritual master has enlightened me from within. Rite, just like Brahma received knowledge from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, from within the heart. Similarly, we receive from our gurus Krishna conscious enlightenment from within the heart. It's not a mental process. It's not a process of acquiring, assimilating information and memorizing facts. It's a matter of getting the blessings of the guru and then the blessings of Krishna and the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. When we're blessed, when we're graced with the satisfaction of our superiors, then enlightenment comes, and it comes more and more fully. The more we get, the more we satisfy the spiritual master Krishna and the Vaishnavas. And then we understand. That's our process of jnana. We should understand Krishna, and we should understand Krishna's energies. But we understand especially by service. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. It's service. Hearing the Bhagavatam is service. Eating prasadam is a service, honoring prasadam. All the things we do, if we do them as service, if our attitude is adjusted properly, then everything we do is we think of it as serving. Then we become enlightened by everything we do. It's all Bhagavata Sevaya, Seva. But one of our services is also to study the book. That's also, you know, Bhagavad Seva, of course, also means reading Srimad Bhagavatam. That's part of the program. Okay, and this is the last prayer. This is the end of the sages' prayers. From here on, I think through... No, not the whole 14th chapter. I was thinking the 14th chapter is an easy one. But it looks like... When we get to verse 10, then we get some long verses again. No, I'm looking at the wrong chapter. It's 4. 14 is the next chapter, so we're almost at the end of this chapter. The next chapter is 14. Yeah, and it's all simple verses. No, not all. Some prayers at the end. Chapter 15 is quite complex. The description of how Jayan Vijay fell down from Vaikuntha. That's, the commentaries are complex in that chapter. And the verses are not so easy. But from here on, from the next 30 verses or so are going to be easy. We can go through them quickly. Okay, are there any questions or comments? Guru, Brahma, Guru, Deva, Guru, Vishnu, Guru, Vishnu, Guru, Deva. How does it go? Guru. It's from the Gita Mahatmya of Shankaracharya. Not Gita Mahatmya. This is Guru Ashtaka. And we do chant another prayer from another verse from that same Ashtakam. That's also from there. Yeah, from the same stotra. But this, identifying the Guru as the absolute truth, as Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, that we don't like so much.
Right. I mean, like, sometimes people say that. I mean, it seems like in certain ways, like, the Guru is like the representative of the demigods, and, you know, we also say...
Sarvadeva Mayoguru. Krishna says,
yeah.
Don't consider the Guru an ordinary man, so but he contains within himself all the demigods.
Yeah. And we say that, you mean we say
well, that's clarified, but he's, what he really is a dearmost servant.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that the prayer itself is bad, it's what has been done with it, the way people have been thinking about it for so many centuries. You know, the prayer is sort of, they first sort of ruined the prayer by the way they've thought about it.
Yeah.
It could have been understood in proper context, but it's been misunderstood for so long.
Well, would the right understanding be that Guru is like the representative from Shiva?
Yes, or that Krishna invests in the Vaishnav all the same as much and more potency that he invests in the demigods. But that has to also be understood in a figurative way. I mean, the Guru is not usually empowered to create and destroy universes.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually not. But the Mayavadis have totally wrong idea about what a Guru is. And most of the people in India are influenced by that idea. That's what we have to deal with. And that's why we have to take a negative stance to counteract that. Otherwise, all these authorized statements of Shastra and statements even by Shankaracharya can be understood in a proper way. The problem is that everybody's understanding them in the wrong way. I don't remember seeing it quoted in any of the commentaries or books of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. I don't think so. That Guru Brahma Guru Vishnu is quoted by. Which one? No, but we're talking about Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya is quoting it. No, we sort of shy away from that one. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Raghunath Bhatta? So who are the three then? Not Gopal Bhatta.
and Krishna's Kaviraj. Okay. No, nothing. No mention of anything he wrote. He was a lecturer on Srimad Bhagavatam. That was his forte.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would attend his classes. In Puri, yeah. And it was usually Raghunath Bhatta, who was, or Gadadhar Pandit, who was giving class. You can see Raghunath Bhatta's Bhagavatam is still there. In Gokula, which temple? Which Gokulananda? Some one of the temples in Vrindavan, they have what's supposed to be Raghunath Bhatta's Bhagavatam. No, one of the seven temples. I can't remember. And it's not mentioned much in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It may have been he was one of those who asked Krishna's Kaviraj not to talk about him. Like Lokanath and who else? Gopalbhatta also said, don't talk about me. I can't remember, but Lokanath did. Yeah. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Shri Krishna's Kaviraj Tiro Bhav Mahotsav Ki Jai.